Japan's yen continues to plunge, worrying governments all around the world. But that just means the dollar's heating up, wreaking havoc. Yet all anyone wants to talk about is the Federal Reserve and its delayed rate cuts. They keep bringing up central banks because they don't have any other answer for why currencies behave the way they do. That's why they keep coming back to this, even though it's so easy to disprove. So let's clear up the misconceptions about the yen and the dollar, and then we're going to use some real history as our guide to piece together what's really going down besides JPY, and what it means for you. And it's neither reflation nor inflation, that's for sure. So we'll start with where JPY is now. It has fallen below 157. Remember where we were just not that long ago, about a month ago. Japan's yen was hanging around 152 to the dollar, which was already an incredibly low rate. The finance minister comes out, the vice finance minister come out and say, we're going to intervene. We better not see the yen go below 152 because there's no fundamental reason for it to go below 152. And then it went below 152 and nothing happened. Crickets. The government didn't intervene as the currency continues to drop further and further to a multi-decade low. It blew past 155, and there was some hope that maybe last night with the Bank of Japan's policy meeting, the Bank of Japan officials, central bankers, would help bail out the government and the currency by at least sounding more hawkish in their policies, if not actually raising rates, which was maybe a long shot, but perhaps raising rates for the second meeting in a row. But the BOJ disappointed on both counts. They neither raised rates, nor did they really sound all that hawkish to begin with. And here we are with the heat back on Tokyo and the finance ministry to do something about the yen that continues to fall lower and lower and lower. The fact that the currency exchange value has already dropped well below what was supposed to have been a red line at 152 already raises several questions, at least on the part of the government. Why aren't they intervening? They made all of these loud noises last month saying we're good, we're ready to stand by if we have to. We're ready to go into the marketplace to make sure that the yen doesn't go in the way that it actually has over the last 4 weeks. Yet nothing. Nothing from Tokyo, nothing from the finance ministry as far as intervention. Still, just occasionally some threats and some additional jawboning. Nothing more than that. And the reason is simple. It's better to be thought powerless and stay on the sidelines than intervene in the marketplace and remove all doubt. As I mentioned in a video about a month ago, the government in Japan and its history of interventions show that the interventions don't actually produce the results that they're supposed to. So they're going to threaten, they're going to cajole, they're going to jawbone the market to try to get the market to do what they want it to do. But the market has shown that it wants to go lower. It wants JPY to go lower because the dollar is going higher. But why? This, of course, brings up the main explanation that you always hear all the time, all over the place. It's got to be about the Federal Reserve. It's policy rate differentials. And it sounds like it makes some sense, right? Because if there's going to be higher returns in U.S. dollar terms because the Fed is pushing rates up, why not bring money home and invest in U.S. treasuries? Or from the foreign perspective, why not invest money overseas in U.S. dollar assets? Because they're safer, they're liquid, and they're going to be offering a higher return. So as capital flows from one place to the next, the currency simply reflects those changes, those flows in capital. Therefore, perceptions about policy rates. And it's gotten to the point that because not just the Japanese yen, we've got the Korea's won, and of course China's yuan, because the Asian currencies in particular are falling, it's gotten to the point that it's worrying governments around the world. Just a couple weeks ago, in fact, a little over a week ago, on April 17th, Japan, Korea, and the United States, this trilateral ministerial joint press statement that they issued, which was primarily about just saying that we see these currencies weakening and we're on it. What the press release said was, we will continue to cooperate to promote sustainable economic growth, financial stability, as well as orderly and well-functioning financial markets, which destabilized sinking currencies are not good signs for those. We will also continue to consult closely on foreign exchange market developments in line with our existing G20 commitments while acknowledging serious concerns of Japan and the Republic of Korea about the sharp depreciation of Japanese yen and the Korean won. They didn't say why they blame that. They're just saying, we now see these sharp depreciations and we are taking it seriously, as they should. But again, it just raises the question, what is really happening here? Well, Bloomberg has the answer. As the currency fell even more after the Bank of Japan lack of announcement yesterday, the yen has already lost 10% of its value versus the greenback this year, the worst performer among the group of 10 currencies. Driving the depreciation is the yawning gap between the interest rates in the U.S., which are at the highest in decades after Fed's aggressive tightening cycle last year, and those in Japan, where borrowing costs remain stubbornly low, near zero. And they're already hyperventilating about the Fed, but also hyping up the interest rate differentials. Again, it sounds incredibly intuitive. It sounds simple and straightforward, but no. And we can see this in any number of periods throughout history. In fact, recent history, which we'll come back to, but slightly less recent history from the period between the Bank of Japan establishing negative interest rate policies in January 2016 and 2019. It completely goes against all of these conventions. Let's do that little bit of review just so you can see. So the Bank of Japan lowered rates below zero, negative interest rate policy, or NIRP, in the early days of 2016. And at the same time, just a month before, in December of 2015, the Federal Reserve did its own first rate hike in a long period of time. So we got a rate hike in the Fed, negative interest rates going down in Japan, which should be, as everyone tells us, JPY negative. JPY should be plummeting because there's better rates and better opportunities in the United States in US dollar terms. But no, the Japanese yen was rising and precipitously through this period. From the very start, the Fed's raising rates, although they paused until December of 2016, but that just triggered another rise in the yen. Not the rise in the dollar, rise in the yen. So the Fed's raising rates. December of 2016, it picks back up with regular rate hikes. U.S. Treasury yields are actually going higher compared especially to their JGB counterparts. The Bank of Japan is still at negative interest rates. It had just introduced yield curve control, which is irrelevant, but in the minds of everybody else, especially the mainstream, yield curve control, negative interest rates, the Bank of Japan is being incredibly dovish. So JPY should be falling and falling rapidly, but it wasn't. From 2016 right on through to 2021, the yen was by and large steady to stronger. In fact, more stronger than steady. Apart for one episode in November and December of 2016. Just after the U.S. election for Donald Trump, and just before the Federal Reserve resumed its rate hikes, the yen did in fact plunge. And it plunged in tandem with a huge sell-off in the U.S. Treasury markets. So you have this one-month period that actually is consistent with the mainstream myth about how currencies work. The U.S. interest rates went sharply higher. Suddenly, the Japan yen went sharply lower. But it was only one month in a multi-year period that goes in the complete opposite direction. The Federal Reserve is raising rates. U.S. Treasury yields are rising modestly, not aggressively, but modestly. Japanese rates are down near zero. Negative interest rates from Bank of Japan policy. Nobody's moving anywhere. Fed is perceived as hawkish. The Japanese Bank of Japan are perceived as dovish. And the yen is going up, not down. Central bank policies, interest rate differentials don't explain currency movements. Now, there are other factors to consider, too, which we don't get into here, like especially dollar borrowing costs. It's not, at the very least, it's not as easy and simple as Fed up, Bank of Japan down, therefore the currency has to follow the differentials. But every once in a while, you see this period like November, December 2016 that does fit the myth, and so it's taken as proof and evidence that the central bank policies and interest rate differentials are the reason that currencies do what they do. Never mind the whole rest of the period, which shows it's not about those at all. What are these currency movements really about? Well, let's go back and look at the big picture. Let's look back at the last 30-some years of history, almost 40 years. We go back to the 1980s and 1990s, the Japanese yen was rising. And I know everybody, that's the Plaza Accord, 1985. That was governments getting together and plotting the trajectory of the dollar and all these foreign currencies. And we'll have to save that for another video, the Plaza Accord and all the myths around that. But even as the Japanese economy falls off into its lost decade, the bubble burst in the early 1990s, Japanese yen kept moving higher against the US dollar, even though from a economic fundamental basis, it would seem to argue for a weaker yen. No, the yen continued undeterred, even though Japan was falling into its first lost decade, really a depression at the time. And the answer, we start to see the answers from around the other parts of the world, that currencies are not actually dictated by governments and government policies. In 1992, we got a huge, very good example in the British pound. Everybody attributes that to George Soros when it wasn't. It was the Eurodollar system and the conditions in the Eurodollar system and the conditions in the global economy the Eurodollar system were helping engineer. And so this one of my favorite quotes of all time was from the New York Times in September of 1992 that really helps to start explaining what's happening in these currencies. The world's currency markets, it seems, are no longer governed by central bankers in Washington and Bonn, but by traders and investors in Tokyo, London, and New York, Eurodollar, as the chaos in currency markets this past week has shown. It's the Eurodollar system that dictates all of the directions of currencies, as well as their short-run movements too. So what we see is a Japanese yen throughout the 80s and into the 90s, the yen is going higher. And as it's going higher, the world is becoming more prosperous. That's the underlying relationship that we need to keep coming back to. Yen goes up, things seem to get better. Same thing as China's yuan, because on the other side of that is the dollar. As the dollar's going lower, conditions around the world are generally more favorable. Financial stability as well as economic growth. There are some key exceptions that will help us identify some of these issues, including for Japan in the middle 1990s, the yen, which was stronger and stronger despite the lost decade developing, suddenly the yen around April 1995 begins to plunge. It reverses completely and goes sharply lower in the other direction. Now, many people say, well, that's interest rates. Interest rates start to go much lower in Japan. JGB yields come down. But also that period should ring some bells here, 1995 until August 1998. In that period, the yen goes from 81 to 147. So this is a substantial move. But was that just lower JGB yields compared to where Alan Greenspan had short-term interest rates in the U.S.? What else happened between, say, 1996 and 1998, 1998-99? That was, of course, the Asian knot financial crisis. That developed during that same period. It got really bad toward the end of it. It got so bad that the Bank of Japan pleaded with the U.S. government to sell treasury bills on its behalf in order to raise funds that the Japanese badly needed. Not local yen funds, but U.S. dollar funds. Dollar shortage. It was an Asian dollar shortage. Here's a passage from the FOMC transcript from February 1998. This is Peter Fisher, who was the open market manager, said, "Just before Christmas, we confronted an order from the Japanese authorities to sell in treasury bills. In the absence, and this part is redacted for reasons I have no idea, and I've never seen especially these amounts that are redacted in a transcript before or since. We took blank of bills into the Soma account, selecting bills that would be able to run off in the course of January so as to not make our need to drain reserves any worse at the end of the month. We sold blank, must be a huge amount, for them in the market and took another blank out of the repo pool, the foreign repo pool, where we have an elevated cash balance for them to help them in effect to meet their cash needs. Dollar shortage, risk aversion, risk off. Japan's yen is going down. It's not interest rate differentials, it's global Eurodollar dynamics. In that case, specifically tied to Asia, the Asian part of the Eurodollar system. That's something we're going to come back to as well. And so apart from the Asian financial crisis, we get past that and the yen turns around and goes higher all over again. Not because Japan's economy is recovering or the interest rates look like they're going to rise. Nothing to do with it. We're back to risk on in the global system, especially Asia, recovering from 1997 and 1998. And then you see the yen continue to rise mostly higher for the rest of the period with a couple of exceptions, including 2000 and 2001, when the U.S. and the global economy experienced the dot-com bust. Again, risk aversion, risk off. JPY goes down. Had nothing to do with the Bank of Japan's quantitative easing. In fact, JPY was going lower before the before the Bank of Japan even got to quantitative easing. In fact, the BOJ was raising rates in 2000 while yen is going lower. And then when the Bank of Japan did quantitative easing in March of 2001, a couple weeks later, the yen goes stronger. And it was stronger all the way until just after September 11th. And then the yen goes down again. Risk aversion, risk off. So in the big picture, for several decades there, the yen was getting stronger and stronger and stronger, despite the fact that Japan was getting weaker and weaker and weaker, and rates were going lower and lower and lower in Japan, down to zero to where they would stay for the most part. So despite these fluctuations in between, rising yen, falling dollar, good things happening around the world. That also included, to an extent, the 2008 crisis, Eurodollar number one, and its immediate aftermath. Again, the Japanese yen tells us something about the Asian characteristics of the Eurodollar system. And what they were saying in 2008, 9, and 10 was that there was a widespread belief priced into the market that even though the developed world, like the United States and Europe, they were toast, they were going to suffer not from subprime mortgages, but the consequences of the Great Recession, the Asian economies, especially China, were going to continue to further go on as if the 2008 crisis never happened. China was invulnerable. The Asian economies were going to inherit the earth. And that belief kept up until Eurodollar number two, 2011. As I keep pointing out, it was the death knell for the Eurodollar system. 2008 was a big part of it, but 2011 Eurodollar number two really cemented the fact that not only had the dollar system changed, there was going to be no hiding from it. There was going to be no escaping the downturn. Even China and emerging markets were going to suffer the consequences eventually, as they did. So 2011 was the final nail in the Eurodollar coffin, and we see that reflected in Japan's yen. So what was largely moving higher during the 90s and middle 2000s, consistent with Eurodollar growth and globalization, it now tends to move mostly lower, despite fluctuations in between, mostly lower since 2011, as we get into deglobalization, lack of growth, economic potential that is just vanishing, all of the negative downsides that we associate with deflationary money. Yen goes down. So in the 2020s, what we see is basically that plus a whole lot more. The Japanese yen starts to fall in January of 2021, long before we talk about rate hikes in the United States, let alone an aggressive series of them. Already, the yen's going lower with the yuan, by the way, which signaled that the marketplace risk off, risk aversion, understanding that the supply shock was going to lead to a whole bunch of bad consequences, especially for around places around the rest of the world that were not able to withstand the pandemic, the supply shock and everything else to the same degree as, say, here in the United States with Uncle Sam's redistributions. The Great Migration. In many ways, the yen is a signal for the Great Migration, the struggles everywhere around the world. So as the yen goes lower, it's not about rate hikes from the Fed or differentials. It's about the consequences of the supply shock being felt and likely to still be felt over the years ahead. And we can see, again, the fundamental risk on versus risk off in JPY, like CNY, for when it reversed. It reversed in one short run instance, November of 2022 and January 2023, consistent with China reopening. But that didn't last. It only lasted until January 2023. And then the yen, like the yuan, resumed its downward trajectory. It's all about risk aversion, not interest rates. So just big picture terms. JPY goes up, generally speaking, with some few caveats, the world is going to be doing better. JPY starts to go down, that's not a good sign for the rest of the world, because what's behind JPY is not dollar, not the Fed, it's Eurodollar. So JPY, which is an important one, especially what it tells us about Asia and how Asia impacts the rest of the world, JPY is going down by a lot. That's not a good sign as far as reflation, inflation, or just stability. There's a reason why the trilateral group of Korea, Japan, and US put out a statement, because they are worried that this disruption from the U.S. dollar could lead to more serious consequence. Instability in markets, instability in economies, instability in everything. That's the euro dollar. As the New York Times wrote in September of 1992, the world's currency markets are dictated by the euro dollar system. They didn't use that term, but we can see that in everything, including the yen. A big part of Japan's plight that I didn't get into here, crude oil prices. Oil is an enormous imposition, not just for Japan, with consequences for everyone. That's the video I've got linked below. As always, thank you very much for joining me. Huge thank you, Eurodollar University members and subscribers. And until next time, take care.